Good morning, sir. Before we get started, what is your name, sir?
Ray Douglas.
Mr. Douglas, hold one second. The Seals will to conduct your hearing at this time, sir. The Honorable Mr. Kiwanis will be the one who will serve as a lead for your hearing, so if you will hold on, sir, he'll be with you very shortly. And Mr. Neal, would you pass that on to Mr. Kiwanis, please, sir?
Okay. Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yeah.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Ray Andrew Douglas, 233351.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding four alleged violations listed under warrant arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on July 20th, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench from which I sit. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. We have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Grady, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you, any supporters you may have, and Mr. Grady in. So let me just check to see who you have. Can I see a show of hands of how many people are here from Mr. Douglas? Will you both be speaking before the board today? Okay, is it Trina W? Trina, pardon me, and Samantha?
Homovans.
Just want to make sure I say it correctly. So I'm gonna swear you all in at once. So Mr. Douglas, Ms. Carrillo, Ms. Homovans, and Mr. Grady, you all solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm.
I do.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Douglas, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine whether or not your supervision should be Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision. With phase two, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. So keep in mind there's two distinct phases of this hearing and a separate motion that passes this hearing from phase one to phase two. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and we can talk about it. And keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will begin phase one of this hearing by reading from your warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal major company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number six, as demonstrated by you being in possession and control of a deadly or prohibited weapon, that is a knife, on or about June 20th, 2018 in Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Douglas, is this true or false?
Am I only allowed to answer the one word?
Yes, true or false?
It is true.
Thank you. You will have a chance to speak to this board in detail during the second phase of this hearing. So I know that sounds a bit restrictive right now, but you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir? Right now, during phase one, we're just going through the allegations. Allegation number two, violation of condition number eight, as demonstrated by your association with offender, probationer, Gerald Roland Labe, the third, on or about June 20th, 2018. Mr. Douglas, is this true or false? Thank you, sir. Allegation number three, violation of condition 13, peas and papa, as directed by your possession of children's toys on about June 20th, 2018. Mr. Douglas, is this true or false?
That's false.
Okay, sir. Allegation number four, violation of condition 13F, is demonstrated by a failure to refrain from accessing directly or indirectly, any social networking websites on or about June 20th, 2018. Mr. Douglas, is this true or false?
It's true.
Thank you. Based on your submission that allegation number three is false, we're going to hear details of the allegation as read by our community corrections officer, and then we'll come back to you shortly for a few questions. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas. Mr. Grady.
11-22-17, the criminal division will receive custody of the unit to get the status. On this same day, the offender reported for an initial update and electronic monitoring unit, where he was explaining the signed condition of supervision specifically per conditions supervision 13P as in Paul. The offender was prohibited from possessing any children's toys. On 6-18, at approximately 12:35 p.m., CCM Butcher located the offender via his electronic monitoring device, and an unscheduled contact was conducted with the offender. The offender was located at his approved residence placement at 2316 East Roosevelt, number 1, Phoenix, Arizona, 85006, in which the offender resides by himself. Contact was made with the offender inside his apartment, and based on the offender's off-character mannerisms and his response to the court officer's questioning and cursory search of the subject's apartment was conducted. Located in the offender's living room, a plastic bag was discovered that contained numerous children toys consisting of several dolls and a Barbie bike toy. And there are pictures.
Just one second. Okay, back to you, Mr. Douglas. What is false about this allegation?
I have no knowledge that that was in my apartment at all. Like, I had recently had a breakup with one of my exes. We were engaged, and she had left a bunch of stuff in my house. That's the only stuff that it could have been, and I had no knowledge that it was in my house at all, sir. Like, if it was in there, then it is true. But I never seen it in my house. I know I had a pile of bags from her that were left in my apartment, and I never went through her stuff. I was simply storing it. I had no knowledge of what was in it or what wasn't. And
well, so Mr. Douglas, again, you'll be given an opportunity to speak in detail during the second phase of the hearing. During the first phase, we just asked you a few questions about the allegation. We're not cutting you off, but there's an appropriate time to get into this during the second phase. So, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to pass from phase one to phase two, and that is based on Mr. Douglas's admissions for allegations one, two, and four, as well as the information provided to us from the Department of Corrections in warrant number 2018-W1771 for allegation number three. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Thank you.
Okay. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Douglas, as I stated, this hearing is conducted in two phases. We just passed from phase one to phase two. It is during phase two that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Grady, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. We will come back to you momentarily. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll ask you some questions, and as I stated, you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas. Mr. Grady, if you will.
Mr. Douglas of Delusion DLC, on November 22nd of 2017, was arrested on June 20th of 2018 by parole staff. He has no charges, he was returned back to DLC on June 20th of 2018. He has a CSED of April 24th of 2019, and zero sound days. Current conviction, 2008, kidnapping, 10 years. 2008, theft of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. He has no prior convictions. He has one term in the DLC. His CUIR score is a 4-4, and his health score is a 2, substance abuse score is a 2. He has no gang affiliation, no prior term of supervision. Disciplinary violations were moderate with drugs, violence, and staff assaults noted. Other arrests, 2004, aggravated assault, Arizona General Probation. 2005, aggravated assault, Arizona General Probation. Community risk score is a G1 within 2.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. Back to you, Mr. Douglas. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections without an approved residence placement. You were provided with a residence placement option, and you opted to be homeless, transient in the vicinity of the 202 Freeway and Country Club Drive in Mesa, Arizona. You remained homeless, transient until you secured apartment at 2316 East Roosevelt, number 4, Phoenix, Arizona, on December 11, 2018. On January 2018, you moved in within the same apartment complex to a different apartment at 2316 East Roosevelt, unit number 1, Phoenix, Arizona, until you return to custody. So am I correct that you were in the state of Arizona the entire time that you were under community supervision?
Yes, sir.
And we have employment notes that you were to be employed at Trendwood in Phoenix as a general laborer making wood furniture. You continued for less than 1 month when you were fired after calling out for calling out for work too many times. In early February of 2018, you secured employment with Imperial Woodworking located at 4012 West Turney Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. This employment continued until you were again fired for excess call-ins. In mid-June 2018, you were unemployed at the time that you returned to ABC custody. Programming notes, you referred to CHCCHP for anger management counseling, which you attended once weekly until you returned to ABC. In April 2018, you tested positive for alcohol and referred to Terrorists for Substance Abuse Counseling. In April 2018, or April 28th, you completed the intake at Terrorists and were to be attending Substance Abuse Counseling once weekly. Your attendance has not been able to have been confirmed at the time of the writing of this warrant. Upon the subject's release from ADC, you referred to task for random year analysis. Since assigned a task, you submitted a total of 14 random drug tests. These 14 tests, 11 were negative, 2 were diluted, 1 was positive for alcohol. Sanctions notes, you were, in January 2018, failed to charge your electronic monitoring device correctly, received a verbal reprimand for the violation. In March, twice, you submitted diluted urine tests. On March 3, 2018, as a result of the two diluteds, you were verbally reprimanded, counseled on the proper fluid intake prior to submitting urine sample. Consention to increase your analysis. On April 10, 2018, you submitted a urine test that was positive for alcohol. On February 12th, your staff with this positive alcohol test and self-disclosed that you recently consumed alcohol beer, and you're verbally reprimanded for substance abuse treatment. Follow-up note, incidental to your arrest and being transported back to ASPC Phoenix, you inquired with transportation staff if it would be bad for him if you provided him a specimen that tested positive for methamphetamine. I recognize there was quite a bit of information, Mr. Douglas, so I do want to go back. I said that you'd have an opportunity to speak to the board in detail about the allegation that you submitted as false. So did you have any more information that you wanted to share with the board?
Yes, sir. All right, so I'm not saying what I did was right or wrong. I accept full responsibility for every one of my actions. I always have, I always will. I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing. You know, I was trying the best I could. I spent my whole adult life in prison. For the last 10 years, I got out, and I felt like I was just thrown into the ocean and told to swim with no flotation device and not knowing how to swim. And I was doing the best I could. I had a few minor hiccups here and there, but, you know, yeah, I should have told my parole officer that the other probationer was at my house. And as far as the knife goes, that was my work knife. My parole officer had already seen my knife before, and I really, because I do furniture for a living. I used my work knife. It was sitting on my bookshelf when they found it. I wasn't carrying it around with me or nothing. The only time I utilized it was at work. Other than that, it's out of my shelf. And when I talked to him that day, he told me to make sure I leave it at work. I'm not making excuses for none of my actions. I can and will be a functioning member of society. You know, I feel like I got a raw deal. I'm trying to make the best of it. You know, I have a few violations, and, you know, I have a stable environment to go to. I have another job lined up. I as far as those toys in my house, I have, technically, I have to register as a sex offender yet, but I do not have no sexual nature-based crime at all. You know, I have a kidnapping charge. I was 18, I was strung out on drugs, and I did something stupid, you know, and I regret it for the rest of my life. You know, I did my time, I'm trying to move on with my life, you know, but it's not as easy as everybody makes it seem, and I'm doing the best I can, and I can do better. Yeah, I just had a few hiccups here and there. You know, I apologize to my parole officer and everybody for messing that opportunity up. But I'm sitting before you telling you I can do better and that I will do better if I'm given another opportunity. I still have 9 months of parole. You know, I don't feel like sitting here and doing that. I can do good out there. I can do better out there than I can in here. You know, all this is going to do is further institutionalize me. And I don't need that in my life. I have a good family support system. They're obviously, they care, but they wouldn't be in the courtroom waiting for me. You know, I want to be able to do good out there. I'm not making no excuses for nothing that happened. I accept full responsibility for all my actions. If those toys were in my house, then they were in my house, and I accept that. But I admit to all my wrongdoings.
Okay.
I apologize.
Mr. Douglas, if I may, one of the violations was that you were in the company of a medical probationer, or a probationer named Gerald Roberts at Lab?
Laddie,
pardon me. Why were you in his company?
So that dude has been like a father to me for more than 10 years. He got out of DOC custody from the same guard that I did, and he was trying to get approved by his probation officer to, supposedly he came to my house that day to tell me that he got approved on his end to have contact with me and to contact my PO, you know, and it just so happened that my PO knocked on the door when he was there, you know, and he got scared and he hit for my PO, you know. I should have told my PO that he was there. That's 100% correct. But that dude is like a father figure to me. I've never met my dad. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I know my terms of parole, and I know that it's wrong. You know, it was more along, we weren't doing no illegal activity or nothing like that. Man, it was, I know it's wrong and it's a violation of my parole, but we were trying to go about it the right way. We simply went about it the wrong way.
Okay, so another question is, you know, this is a revocation hearing. This is not a parole hearing. We're certainly not retrying a case. But you stated that your previous offense was not related to sex, but you are a registrable sex offender. So what was the connection between that previous offense and being a sex offender?
All right, so I did 10 years for kidnapping. I had no prior knowledge of having to register at all until like 8 days before I got out of prison. They told me, when I found my release packet, they told me I had to register as a sex offender and put an ankle monitor on my leg. And I was going to refuse. They told me if I refused, I wasn't going to get out. So I told them to call my mom. And you can ask her. I'm pretty sure she's sitting in that courtroom with you. I asked her, I said, Mom, do you want me to sign this? She said, yeah, we should fight it from the outside. So I attempted to get a lawyer and everything. All I did, I carjacked somebody at gunpoint with an airsoft gun, a plastic gun, and my co-defendant shoved him in the back seat. It was a minor. That's how I got. I did not know anything about registering for kidnapping until I got out of prison. And I still do everything that they asked of me at that point. I never went against it. I simply try to go about it in the legal aspect the right way. You know, I never like ran from it or nothing like that. I didn't even know I had to register until after I got out of prison.
Okay, sir. We do have to manage time because we have several hearings today. So my last question is, you had a violation of your conditions with the use of alcohol, and then, I don't know what happened, but there's some sort of reference in here implying that you may have had some use of methamphetamine. So,
negative.
Okay. So what did the methamphetamine?
I never once touched that drug at all. Like, I never said that. I'm aware that came from my lawyer also. And I'll never use meth again. I used meth as a minor, and before I came to prison, that's why I did what I did. I'm not making excuses for why I came to prison, but I was strung out on meth back before I turned 18.
But what about the alcohol, sir?
I'll touch that drug again.
Okay, sir. What about the alcohol? What about the alcohol?
I did drink one time while I was out there. I admitted that to my parole officer. I had a rough day. I had never drank on the streets before, and I bought some beer, and I told him I had a couple beers, and he verbally reprimanded me. Okay. Yes, that did happen.
Okay, sir.
I haven't drank since.
I'm going to ask my fellow board members any questions for you. I have questions from fellow board members. Mr. Douglas, you have some supporters here in the hearing room. So I'm going to ask at this point, if any of your supporters would like to approach the podium and speak on your behalf. So, yes, ma'am. If I think you've seen our protocol. So if you'll just come up to the podium. When you get to the microphone, state your name.
I'm Trina Carrillo, his mother.
Okay, ma'am. And what would you like to share with the board?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to each of you. And I unconditionally love my son, no matter what. I'm Trina L. Carrillo, and writing this letter in behalf of my son, Brooke Andrew Douglas. I anxiously waited 10 years for myself to finally come home. Lots of letters were written between us, and I would put money on his books when I could afford it. A few months before he was to be released, I moved from one bedroom to a two bedroom for him to come home to me. 8 days prior to him being released, we found out that he had to register as an SO, a sex offender. This was very upsetting and devastating due to my landlord. Now he wasn't going to allow him to live with me. My son was released on 11/22/17 to the streets. We slept in my car for 19 nights because I refused to have him on the streets because it's not good on the streets. Until I was able to get him approved for an apartment, finally I found a place and we packed up my place and we moved in to 16th Street, wherever it was, that address. Sorry. I only stayed for a month because I work in Mesa, and it was just time-consuming and whatnot. Not a good area. I was scared. And I was scared for him that he had to stay. Pretty good job at Trentwood. He became responsible right away and started paying all of his bills by himself and put everything in his name, getting himself to and from work every day to all of his classes without a car. I was very proud of him. He also called task every day. I believe the area he had to live in wasn't a positive place for him. If you shall agree to let my son continue his parole on the outside, we have a very positive home for him to live in. Much safer. We have another job lined up for him as well. I know that my son is very sorry for his actions because he tells me in every letter. I believe that if you give him another chance, he will prove to all of us that he can be a positive, productive member in society and go on to culinary school to fulfill his dreams to be a chef. So this is this time coming out, we're more prepared for him in his living environment, etc. We had no idea until 8 days. After 10 years of being in there, I get this phone call at work telling me that he has to register as a sex offender when he never even once touched this child. The person that was with him did. Threw him in the back seat. And it was devastating. And what was devastating is, yes, it was like he was thrown to the wolves. And I uprooted my life for my son because I love him, no matter what. Everyone makes mistakes in this world, and we're entitled to learn from it. And I believe he did. And when he came out, he had every intention of doing right. And the toys that were in his home, I was in his home almost daily to come and help him do this or bring him food or whatever I could do to help him. And there was black bag of her stuff there. No one ever once opened it. If I would have known that there was children's toys in that bag, I would have taken it to the dumpster myself. We didn't know that there was kids' toys in that bag at all. And all I can say is, I hope and pray that you guys give my son another chance. He was out 2 days shy of 7 months proving that he was able to be productive. The area he was in was not a good area for him to be in. So I love him unconditionally no matter what.
Thank you, ma'am. Do we have any questions from fellow board members? I want to thank you for appearing for this board today.
Thank you for letting me speak.
Do we have anyone else who wishes to speak on behalf of Mr. Douglas? Yes, ma'am. Again, if you would just approach the podium. Can you state your name?
My name is Samantha Williams. So in regards to Brett Andrew Douglas, who I've known for over 20 years, I've written this letter on his behalf to put into context the person I know him to be and the person that he can ultimately become, given the right influences. I believe that if he is released to my residence under supervision and not placed on a corner or limited to neighborhoods and shady surroundings, that he won't be influenced by negative influences. Instead, he will be surrounded by positive influences, thus letting him succeed in becoming a productive member of society and progress in life goals and personal achievements, such as getting a driver's license, going back and finishing college, becoming the culinary chef he's always wanted to be. Up until the recent mistakes that were made, Mr. Douglas has and was continuing to do everything that was asked of him, including calling tasks, paying all his bills, parole fees, going to classes every weekend. I sincerely hope Mr. Douglas is given another chance, because I believe his previous chance wasn't much of a chance from the start. I'm in a position to give him the chance that he didn't previously have, which I believe in my eyes Mr. Douglas deserves. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Do we have any Questions from fellow board members. Just a quick question. Were you the individual who was living with when he was returned to the Department of Corrections?
I was not living there.
Okay. I just, certainly not trying to put you under the spotlight. I just don't understand all of that story, so thank you.
Okay. Do you want me to?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, Mr. Douglas, let me double check. Do we have any other individuals that are supporting Mr. Douglas today in the room? And any victims' representatives? Okay. Mr. Douglas, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we go into deliberation? Thank you, Mr. Douglas.
No, sir. I just appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas.
Thank you.
The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. We don't discuss these cases before we walk into the hearing room. So, if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, Mr. Douglas.
Thank you, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case. I've heard the passionate position of Mr. Douglas and his struggles with returning to the community, as well as information provided by his mother. I want to take this time to say that I really do appreciate what she has done and what families often do to help support their loved ones return to the community. I think the problem that I'm having, and I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues, is just the totality of what resulted in Mr. Douglas being violated. He has four allegations. I heard what he said about the knife. I don't know what's in his heart or mind, Mr. Douglas. I do recognize that that's certainly an issue with his conditions. He was in the association of someone on probation. I don't know how things unfolded with the children's toys. I certainly heard what he had to say about his history, whether or not he was involved in a sex crime, only that he was required to be registered as a sex offender based on a kidnapping charge. And then there's the business of the social networking sites, in addition to the fact that he did violate his conditions by the use of alcohol. So I'm struggling with whether or not Mr. Douglas is a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision, but I'm certainly open, again, to the input of my colleagues. The other one is Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Pianis. I'm having the same thoughts you are, I think, and it just concerning the variety of violations. They're not all the same. It's not like, for example, all failing to give urine specimen. It's many. It's four very different violations. And I'm just not sure that he's able to operate under community supervision.
Thank you, Honorable Rittenhouse. Any other input from fellow colleagues? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information that's been provided to this board under Arizona Department of Corrections, warrant number 2018-W1771, a discussion with Mr. Douglas as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Douglas is delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapse or is about to lapse in the criminal ledger company, inasmuch at a minimum that he was in this association with another individual on probation, as well as the violations on his warrant of arrest to include the possession of a knife and other violations of his conditions of supervision, and that's my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Motion made by myself, Luis Quinones, seconded by Mr. Neal, and by Dr. Wright. Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Douglas, your supervision has been revoked and you will be released on or about April 24th, 2019. I recognize that sounds like a long time away, but we're talking months, not years. When your time inside the Department of Corrections is completed, you will not have a parole officer, will not have a community corrections officer. I recognize that you will still be confronted with the sex offender conditions, but I think that you will have much more freedom of mobility. But at this point, this board is not finding you a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision. We do encourage you to take advantage of these final months, again, months, not years, to put together a plan for your safe return to the community. We hope to see you return to the community productive. I didn't mention this during deliberation, but it looks like that at the end of your community corrections, or at the end of the time of your community corrections, that you weren't working, but it sounds like that you were very motivated to be productive when you returned to the community. So this hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we want to thank you for appearing before this board today, Mr. Douglas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anything else?
So we brought this hearing to a conclusion. We've got a vote, so we do wish you the best. Like I said, it's just a matter of months. When you're released, you will no longer be under community supervision. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.